I'm Laura Kaluger, Senior Editor with Commercial Property Executive, and you're listening to RICS Monitor, the quarterly podcast series that tracks sentiment towards real estate across the globe. The Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors in London has recently released its first quarter Global Commercial Property Monitor, which showed visible improvements in both occupier and investment markets. In fact, the results of the survey were the least downbeat since the second quarter of 2022. As always, Senior Economist Sharon Parsons is joining me to expand on the trends emerging from the organization's latest survey. Hi, Sharon. Great to have you back.
Hi, Laura. Nice to speak to you.
So the tone of your latest survey has improved, with both occupiers and investors showing more optimism. What is behind this gradual recovery in commercial real estate sentiment across the globe?
Yeah, I think the past couple of years or so have been challenging for commercial real estate as an asset class. That's, you know, in most parts of the world. And it does seem that now, you know, having suffered that correction in a lot of cases, the outlook is starting to turn in a slightly more positive direction. At the same time, that's not to say a sharp rebound looks likely, but something of a recovery should emerge from what is a pretty low base. And I think part of the reason is simply after such an adjustment, this does leave those portions of the market that are still supported by strong occupier fundamentals, perhaps longer term, so such as the industrial sector. They're appearing better value now. And if the economic cycle does become more favourable, which it does seem to be kind of moving in that direction across Europe at least, I think there's the potential for more solid returns from investments and into those types of properties. And so we do see some early signs of improvement in demand coming through.
And in terms of regions, which ones have posted the most striking changes?
Yeah, I think Europe, without, it's still probably one of the weakest, but it is kind of reaching the bottom of the cycle now. And I think that's where most of the kind of cautious optimism is kind of present. The United States, I don't think it was quite so weak beforehand. It's not such a dramatic difference this time. So I would kind of single out Europe.
Okay, and how are investors and occupiers viewing credit conditions? Have they adjusted to high interest rates?
Yeah, globally, credit conditions kind of on balance, they actually improved slightly in Q1. So in fact, our reading for the credit conditions metric that we capture, it produced its most positive result. So that positive result means that there's an easing in financial conditions. And that's the best return that we've seen since 2019. So beforehand, it had been stuck in kind of negative territory for seven quarters in a row. So it really does mark a significant turnaround in the trend that we were seeing. Now, that is globally and in the United States, which is, of course, the most high profile news story to follow regarding the outlook for monetary policy. There, financial markets have been cutting back the amount or the degree of policy loosening expected through the end of this year, simply because of sticky inflation. So that's perhaps an area of disappointment when it comes to this loosening narrative. But still, the ECB, it appears very close to their first rate cuts, and likewise, the Bank of England does it as well. So I say globally, there is still an improvement.
What was the feedback around development starts? How is construction activity holding up in this economic context?
Yeah, so development starts, they had to kind of see a significant pickup or recovery, and our feedback in that area has been more or less unchanged in Q1. Interestingly, though, we do run another survey focusing on the construction sector globally, and through that we gather sentiment on kind of expectations for private kind of commercial workloads over the coming 12 months. And there is a more positive shift that's visible. So, okay, the forward-looking readings aren't quite as upbeat as they were, say, in early 2021, but there's still an improvement coming through. And so it does suggest that, although it hasn't appeared just yet, looking forward, more construction work is likely to commence over the next year or so.
And what do forward-looking indicators tell us about the gap in expectations for prime, secondary, alternative assets?
Yeah, so the prime and secondary split is still very evident, especially in the office sector. So prior to the pandemic, projections for prime offices were typically around 2% stronger than for secondary. This was then kind of extended to about 3% gap during 2020 or 2021. And if anything, there's been another leg up, so meaning there's an even greater disparity now between prime and secondary projections that has emerged through the course of the past kind of 12 months. So that's particularly evident on the rental side. So rental growth for prime office space is actually seen outpacing that for secondary by around 4%. So there's no sign that this gap is returning to what was more normal prior to the pandemic. And it's also evident across retail, where it's only certain types of retail assets that appear to be kind of thriving in this kind of changing landscape regarding shoppers' preferences. So secondary portions of the market are kind of increasingly left behind. So while those kind of more traditional sectors may be fading in their appeal, or certain portions of those sectors may be fading, that does mean new opportunities are emerging, and data centers as an alternative asset class, that they really do have the potential for significant growth in the years ahead.
And one hot topic you addressed in your latest survey is office conversions. How do respondents view this phenomenon? Is it really that widespread across regions?
Yeah, most regions and countries are seeing some increase in the level of office conversions to other uses. And I would say the trend appears particularly prevalent in Europe, but it is also very widespread in other markets as well. So we also looked at changes in the volume of downsizing activity, or the level of office tenants looking to reduce or scale back their office space requirements, and how that had changed over the past year. And those results show China actually coming through. So that's both mainland China and Hong Kong. They had really strong net balances of asset participants, signaling that there's been a rise in downsizing activity. And likewise, you've got areas such as Germany, Singapore, Spain, and Canada all have very elevated readings of respondents citing that more tenants have been downsizing. And that is going to play a part in this repurposing story as well. But then at the other end of the scale, both the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, they were among the very small number of markets in which downsizing was reportedly occurring less frequently throughout the past year. And so that really chimes with the much stronger office market backdrop that's being cited across those parts of the Middle East.
And looking at each world region separately, APAC stands out mainly due to two countries, basically China and India. The first one saw no significant improvement from your previous survey, while momentum is strong in the second one. Tell us more about the economic context in this region after the first quarter of the year.
Yeah, very much still a contrasting picture when you look at India, which remains one of the strongest markets that we track globally right now. And then you have that rather downbeat feedback coming from China. There's no sign as yet of this gap closing. So if you look at rental and capital value growth projections in India, in keeping with the very solid macroeconomic picture, expectations are firmly positive across all of the market sectors that we track. You've got prime office and retail assets that are actually seen delivering some of the strongest returns. So that really emphasizes what a different picture it is there compared to other parts of the world. But for China, demand conditions still remain very weak, and with rising vacancy rates, our respondents kind of continue to anticipate a further downward trend coming through with regards to rental values over the coming 12 months. So, with the occupier market struggling and causing greater risk of, lengthy void periods, that's not going to attract investors to purchase these properties in the near term. And so that quite gloomy picture is still very evident.
One region that has been seeing very little improvement, as you mentioned earlier, is Europe. The vast majority of respondents here view their markets to have reached the bottom of the cycle, and a large portion of respondents are still sensing conditions are still consistent with a downturn. However, both investor and investment sentiment indices have turned a little less negative. How has this region evolved lately?
In one sense, the fact that most respondents now feel the bottom of the cycle has been reached, that is a slightly more positive story, given this has already been quite an extended downturn. So if that's coming to an end, there's something more encouraging to take from that. But you're right, conditions are generally still subdued across the continent. I would say, though, that it does look as if the ECB could be the first out of the kind of major central banks to begin cutting rates, and that should help. For the time being, markets such as Germany and France, they do continue to struggle. Negative demand trends, especially for office and retail property, are being reported. I would say it's a little bit more nuanced across different parts of Europe now. So the UK has shown some improvement, and there the larger share of survey participants now feel that a recovery is coming through, although it's only gradual at this stage. And then areas such as Spain, where the economic backdrop seems to be brightening, you've seen decent GDP growth being posted in Q1. Conditions there do seem to be turning up to a certain degree. So parts of the continent are emerging as displaying a little bit of an improvement.
Meanwhile, the Middle East and Africa seems to be at the other end of the spectrum, with strong demand conditions expected to drive further growth in both rents and capital values. Why are occupiers and investors here so optimistic? Are there any countries that display particularly positive projections across sectors for the year to come?
In particular, Saudi Arabia remains a real powerhouse when it comes to growth and expansion across the commercial real estate sector and broader construction markets. So there's so much being delivered with these giga projects, and it remains a real hub of activity with still very robust expectations regarding the outlook for the next 12 months. I mean, the only kind of downside in Saudi Arabia right now is there's kind of capacity constraints, kind of labor and skill shortages that we're seeing because there's so much growth occurring. And the UAE, similarly, it's certainly experiencing kind of quite booming market conditions, and there's a lot of international demand in areas such as Dubai, and I would say both markets. Whereas you're seeing the structural difficulties sweeping across office markets in a lot of the world due to these changing working practices, that's really not an issue in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. I mean, people do seem to be going into the office still, so hence the absence of much downsizing activity, which I referenced earlier. So it seems both markets offer the potential for very strong returns without the same impediments that we see elsewhere.
In North America, there are only small signs of improvement. As you said earlier, there has been little change from the previous quarter, but what stood out to you? How are the American and Canadian economies performing?
It is still quite a steady picture across North America with just a few signs of improvement, as you say. I think what stands out to me is that actually the retail sector in the United States is showing a bit of a rebound, particularly when it comes to occupier demand. So in fact, our reading for retail kind of tenant demand that's kind of to occupy that space in the United States is actually the strongest that we've seen going all the way back to 2015. So there is a more positive development there, and it is expected to drive stronger rental growth and capital values. At least for prime retail assets, are now seen rising in the year to come. But on the other hand, the office sector is especially troubled in the United States, and both prime and secondary portions of this are expected to see a further negative trend in capital values for this year. So that's kind of coming together to kind of produce that. For Canada, I think the real area of strength remains the industrial sector, and that is displaying solid enough prospects for the year to come.
I'd like us to expand on credit conditions a bit more and what the expectations are for the rest of the year, particularly in the US. There are a few metrics that hint at a possible rate cut later this year. What's your view?
Yes, so I think this outlook has shifted a lot over the past couple of months, but it is clear that expectations, which at one point perhaps signaled there'd be several rate cuts through the second half of this year, I think those will be disappointed. But then again, more recently, the latest jobs report was deemed weak enough to support the case for some rate cuts. So I think the numbers there suggest that wage pressures are kind of unlikely to re-intensify and then push up service prices, and that does count quite significantly towards the Fed's kind of preferred inflation gauge. So it's very difficult to judge. I would say that the rate cutting cycle could happen from September. I know there's a lot of eagerness for it to occur, but obviously there's huge risks that it could be delayed. So the inflation numbers, I think that there are some that are coming out next week. They're going to be incredibly important, and in the meantime, you're going to get big reactions from financial markets if these figures kind of beat or miss expectations.
Considering all of this, what should investors and occupiers expect going forward? Is there anything in particular they should keep an eye on?
I think that path for monetary policy will obviously be crucial. The question of, can inflation be kept under control and allow for significant enough loosening in interest rates over the next couple of years to really support any meaningful compression in property yield. So I think the coming 12 months, although it may look, a little bit better than, an admittedly very tough 2023, there's still going to be significant constraints on the market, and global economic growth is expected to remain relatively kind of sluggish. But if all goes to plan, it should lay the groundwork for, a more meaningful acceleration in 2025.
Thank you very much, Durant. We'll see what happens in 3 months.
Yeah, thank you.
If you liked this episode, please rate and review it on the podcast platform you're using. The next RICS episode will be available in 3 months. But until then, you can check out the CPE website for the latest news, trend stories, and insights from high-profile executives. Now, you can also share your own voice with our readers by clicking on the CPE Executive Council button at the bottom of our homepage. Till next time.